Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Into Action on page 81, the second paragraph. Our design for living is not a one-way street. Through one paragraph ending, whom she convinced jealousy, and will be commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Dara F., 12 Traditions, Patty S., and our readers of the text will be Susan G. and Martha Z., and our backup this morning is Nancy R. Newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and then second hour host this morning is Pam S.R. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, February 26th, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time Meeting, 22,197. That's 22,197. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Meeting is 22,198, 22,198. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dara F. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Dara F. from Virginia, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dara F., and I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions. Hey, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty F., the 12 Traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or nicotine, OA as a whole. Each group should have but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name any related facility or outside enterprise, as far as the money, property, or proceeds, derives from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought not be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 81, the second paragraph. Our design for living is not a one-way street, through one paragraph ending, whom she can vent jealousy. So I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Our design for living is not a one-way street. It is as good for the wife as for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. It is better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. So, this short paragraph is for me kind of a checkpoint, a pause to reconsider the why of what I'm doing as I make amends to my husband for any marital infidelity. And this new life, this design for living, new life of recovery, it's about relationships with my higher power, with my partner. It's not just about the energy and effort that I am putting into my marriage. It works for him, too. So I think, how can I be helpful to him when jealousy's been aroused because of my behavior? But it seems to me in my experience that jealousy caused a lot of fear and insecurity. I had to, quote, forget my past lovers to focus on my husband. At this point, my affections and attention turned to him and the same sound ideal of being an engaged and loving wife. When sex is troublesome, not if for me, when it is troublesome, you know, I've been advised to throw myself the harder into helping others. It is not helpful, in my case, to drop a name of a person whom my husband could shift his focus on to blame or vent his fears, anger, insecurities for our marital problems. For me, this is needless. It's unessential for me to make amends to him. So I'm focused on restoring my relationship and not causing any more harm. I'm looking my husband in the eye, not just the world, and telling him my faults, and with God's help, changing my behavior. So for me, the daily disciplines, the nightly reviews have really helped me to act my way back to love, to a focused, devoted, singular love of my husband. I leave the outcome to my higher power, and I kind of guess invite a two-way street approach into my life, letting go of control and self-centeredness. My husband and I meet at the doorstep or at the kitchen table, if you will, of our marriage, not at anyone else's house, so to speak. I forgive. I let my actions tell him he's worthy of all my love I can give today. I look at him with soft eyes, deep gratitude. I set aside thinking about or obsessing over my past to be the best wife I can be today, right here, right now. I think that's all I've got. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for this paragraph's guidance. And, of course, I'm sitting over here listening to hear your thoughts and learn from you, pen in hand, paper ready. Thanks for letting me share. Grateful to be with you today. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. in Tennessee, for getting us started this morning. So although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Katie G. from Boston.
Nicole J.
Nicole. Lindsay, did you get me, Katie?
Okay, yep, I got Katie and Nicole.
Oh, sorry.
All good. Who else would like to share?
Jim S. in Toledo, Ohio.
Gotcha, Jim. I thought I heard someone else. Maybe not. All right, well, we'll start with these three and then take another lineup after that. So be thinking if you'd like to share. Okay, Katie G., Nicole J., and Jim F. Katie G., go ahead and share with us, please.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Lindsay, thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. Honestly, when I first read this paragraph, I was like, I'm going to have to contradict the big book. But then I realized it's not saying that my husband needs a design for living. In fact, for me, I just need to focus on me and my design for living because my husband has a design for living. He doesn't need to go to a 12-step program to practice honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, right? Like, he doesn't need a 12-step program to do the right thing I do. And I love that it was previously pointed out, this isn't a one-way street, right? This isn't about Katie getting my needs met. And in fact, when I first did the sex ideals, I totally did a match.com profile. I was like, well, this is what I need in a relationship from a partner, and this is what he should do, and da-da-da-da-da, and it's not. My chosen ideal is, who am I going to be? And so there's like a significant shift, right, that's continuing from self-centered to other-centered. And I'll just share for me where I am currently with that. Is I spent several years in recovery, so I've been married now for 10 years, and I would say a good part of that marriage, I have spent not doing the things that I need to do. I'm talking making the bed, doing laundry, considering my husband's needs, making dinner, being a wife, right? Like considering, you know, who does he need me to be today? And not in a way that like, I'm saying, okay, my value and worth comes from my husband, because it doesn't. My value and worth comes from God. But like, God, where would you have me go? What would you have me say? What would you have me do? And with whom? And, you know, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on marriage unity. So a lot of times that means shutting my mouth. Or, gosh forbid, not doing a yoga class because my husband needs me to do something else. You know, it's just this beautiful shift that starts to happen, and when it is a two-way street, when I do focus on my design for living. And who doesn't love this design for living, right? Like, I'm abstinent. I retire at night. I review my day. I get up in the morning. Hey, God,
When I get disturbed, I'm going back to God. When I'm needing Him, I'm going back to God, and I'm bringing God into my marriage. And that is so new for me. Like, thanks be to God to all of you who's teaching me how to be a good person, which is all we're talking about. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. in Massachusetts. And then next up is Nicole J., followed by Jim S. Good morning, Nicole, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Nicole. I'm in Virginia, and Nicole J. is my last initial. And I have just been really, really blessed by these conversations this week. I needed to be talking about, well, to be listening. I don't even really feel like I should be sharing. I should just be listening. But I do need to share that I've never had an affair, and I don't think my husband has either, but I sure have had a lot of affairs in my heart. And there was one particular person that we were childhood friends, and, you know, it just became clear that, like, I couldn't sort of move on from the feelings that I had for him. And, you know, he's been on my fourth step and fifth step many times, but this paragraph saying, you know, we don't drop names that would cause jealousy. And though I know I'm doing nothing with this person, I have no contact with him. I don't even need to really speak his name. And I need to focus on the relationship I have with my husband. You know, this is the first time in 21 years that my husband has had a recovered wife. We got married and I was abstinent, and I was abstinent for, I don't know, a few months afterwards. And then I decided I didn't need the program anymore. And it took a while before all the effects really set in. But he's been living with an unrecovered wife all this time. By the grace of God, it's been all right. But I am now seeing, you know, 18 months abstinence later, I am now seeing all these ways that I have not been a good wife, and I've not been a good partner, and I've not been prioritizing my relationship with him. I've prioritized all kinds of other things, and he's been so patient, you know, he's so loving, he's so kind. And so this season of my recovery, I've really been thinking about that. That's been coming up in my nightly reviews. It's been something that I've really been praying about. And one of the prayers recently has just been, help me to see my husband the way you see him. Give me fresh eyes. Give me fresh, you know, insight. Help me to really see, because sometimes I can look at someone every day and not really see them. And help me to love them, love him the way you want me to love him. And I think learning this process through this step to steps, it restores me. I'm being restored to sanity in every area of my life. And it is a little insane to marry somebody and then just neglect them. You know, that's not really sane. So I believe that God is restoring me to sanity in my marriage through this process, and I'm really grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole J. in Virginia. And then next up is Jim S. in Ohio, and then we'll take another lineup for shares. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. It's a good day to be sober and abstinent and all the good things that come from this program. And this topic, wow, really resonates with me. Today is our 60th wedding anniversary. And infidelity has been over the top with me, but it goes back to a long time ago. 1968 was the last time I was involved in anything like that, but it leaves a scar, it leaves a mar in my vessel, and I'll never really find true freedom from this until life is over. I mean, it's such an indelible mark against me. But my wife and I are on the same page. when it comes to our relationship with God. We watched a video movie yesterday that was all about turning our life over to Christ as we understand him. And it was so moving and wonderful. And so here I am all these years later, not having a good report. But it's not necessary for me to make a report anymore. I mean, I'm thinking I need to talk with my wife one last time and get her to understand who she's married to. And I'll do that with God's help. You know, I'm just really finding freedom in Christ now, after all these years, and I want to shout it from the housetops, but I have to take it in perspective to who I was. You know, it reminds me, in fact, it was what I read today early in Hosea in the Old Testament. Hosea was supposed to love his adulterous wife. That's the way it is with God and his people. God loves us with an everlasting love. And that's what helps this kind of a situation that I've been involved with. And it's so good to have a place where I can go and be open and candid.
And that's time.
All right. Thank you for allowing me to share. And everyone have a blessed day, an abstinence day, and food is not that important anymore.
Thanks, Jim S. Yeah, thanks, right. Jim S. in Ohio. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I will take another lineup for shares. Who else would like this morning?
Jesse O.
Olray B.
Teresa P.
Jessica
Rick J.
P.
Jessica C.
Loretta H.
Thank you. You're muted, Lindsay.
Moderator, press star one, please.
Oh, thank you. I got muted, so I'm unmuted. Did you hear the lineup? I've got Bessie O, Ore B, Teresa P, Rick J, Jessica C, and Loretta H. So Bessie, go ahead. Bessie, star one to unmute. You might have got muted as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Good morning. This is Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Okay, what was I saying? When I read these passages about the infidelity, you know, that's not something that I've experienced in my marriage and my relationship, but yet it absolutely speaks to just, you know, the life of being driven by selfishness, you know? So when I am that, I can absolutely relate to, identify with, and just really reflect on and see how, if it's infidelity, you know, or like my obsession with like exercise, even just like cooking really healthy food, you know, it's just that I was absolutely separated, you know, when I was in my disease from God's will for me and in my relationship with my husband, with my children, with everyone, with work. So when I read Our Design for Living, you know, it's no longer am I driven by that selfishness. And what is happening is, you know, there's room for like when I know this isn't like the exact translation, but it's just reminding me that in my relationship now, there's room for more than one person, you know, there's room for more than me, you know, my selfishness, my drive, my control, manipulation. I just think about all the, you know, the spoiled events because I, you know, I'd overeaten or I'd sick, and how it was just, it just ruled me, and therefore it, like, took over my relationship. So I'm just grateful for these, you know, very careful explanations. And when I read, this is honestly a hard passage, you know, for me to share on, but, you know, needlessly, you know, I had something come up last night where it's like, I just don't, you know, we get this good guidance that when I'm not driven by fear and selfishness, that's the design, you know, the design for living. Then I don't need to bring in, like, drag in all of my stuff, you know, needlessly bring in work drama or people into my relationship. I can just show up, you know, at the end of a work day, I did 10 step on my way home. And I'm just so grateful for this design for living that, you know, gets richer and deeper. The more I hear your beautiful shares on these passages, and go through this work with others. So I'm just
Effie, that's time.
Really grateful. Yeah, I think I'll pass.
Thank you, Bessie O in Colorado. And next up is Oray B, followed by Teresa P.
This is Oray B out here in Houston, Texas. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, when I heard this passage, I was thinking about that question in the fourth step where it says, you know, where did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, bitterness, and suspicion? And, you know, like this, I think about, like, how are my words, my behavior, my attitude impacting my relationship? And what is the energy, like, that word arouse, like, evoke or, you know, bring forth in that other person? Like, how are my words impacting this person, or how is my behavior impacting this person? And, you know, it may not be infidelity, but, you know, I can use my words in a way, and I can act in a way where it creates a distance between me and my partner. You know, is my behavior rooted in our greater good, or is it just, you know, me selfishly going, like, my selfishness impacts this other person? I mean, and personally, that's what makes, you know, being in a relationship in recovery, that's the challenge, right? It's like my selfishness, my self-will comes in, and it impacts this other person, and it can harm this other person. And, you know, this is like a constant magnifying glass on how am I showing up? What am I doing? Am I sowing seeds of jealousy? Am I sowing seeds of anger or bitterness or hostility, criticality? These are the things that, am I bringing this energy? Is my selfishness starving my partner out from what she needs emotionally? You know, this is, like I said, the magnifying glass. And thank God for this program. Thank God for, like, spiritual power, because, like, without it, like, when we get into this stuff, it's like, I'm lost. You know, I had decades of overeating and just being in a room isolated and not in, like, I never developed these tools of how to interact with another person, in a harmonious way. So, Thank you for letting me talk, and I'll pass it on to the next person.
Thank you, Ori V in Texas. And the next up is Teresa P, followed by Rick J. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi, this is Teresa. I'm from California. Overeaters Anonymous.
Teresa, we're having a hard time hearing you.
Alrighty. Can you hear me better?
That is much better. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Hi, it's Teresa P. from California and grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous and recovered. Oh, thank God for recovery. Recovery through the Big Book, because the Big Book tells me the truth. And I have trouble with the truth because, you know, I'm sick. I have this disease that I just live in delusion all in so many ways. And the selfishness. You know, I thought selfish was such a terrible word, so I couldn't be selfish. And so I just wasn't selfish in my head. I just acted selfish, you know, all the time, not realizing it. You know, trying to be good, but still being selfish and thinking of me, and not knowing how to do relationships, because I would just like distance myself because people were really uncomfortable, especially that, you know, intimate relationship in marriage, you know, that's, you know, just life wasn't going my way. And that's what I love about the Big Book's Design for Living That Works in Rough Going, because I didn't know how to deal with me. I didn't know how to deal with life. I certainly didn't know how to deal with relationships. And, you know, now I've got this guy 24/7, you know, and he wasn't doing it my way. And what I get to realize that I get to look at myself. What am I doing? What am I not doing? With truth and not delusion and lies. Because I would lie to myself all the time, not even know I'm lying. It's really crazy. That's what delusion is. I don't even know I'm lying. And today I get to look at things. I just get to practice, you know, the principles in all my affairs and take it to God, because, you know, I live in delusion. I still do. It just doesn't go away. And so I have to take these things to God, to the 10th step, and God reveals to me what I need to do. And there was one thing I needed to speak about, and God revealed the words to me, because, you know, I didn't know what to say. I was thinking, well, how can I say about, what can I do? And then just the simple truth. But what's the simple truth? You know, there's all these words. And so it's all about both loving kindness and telling the truth. And I don't need to make a big deal out of it. And I'm not responsible for what he does. I'm only responsible for what I am, what I do, and what I choose to do. So today I choose to act with loving kindness and keep going, doing steps 10, 11, 12 so I can, you know, learn from God what that really looks like. Thank you for letting me share my best.
Thank you, Teresa P. in California. And then next up is Rick J., followed by Jessica C. and Loretta H. Hey, Rick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, you know, we're going through a mint. You know, we've listed the people we've harmed, and we're willing to make amends to them all, except for when to do so would injure them or others, you know, and this is where that's really coming into play. And we're not doing this alone. I mean, that's the beautiful part about this, you know, damage done and a lot of emotions, you know, and I've experienced actions that have harmed my wife and hurt her deeply, you know. And I think one line, though, that I think I need to be careful about is, if we can forget, so can she. That seems a little convenient to pop that in there. And yes, that is an idealistic outcome, and very, very possible with a lot of living amends and a lot of work. But also to remember that the people we've harmed, they have the right to every feeling they have. and we have to help them hold that and be accountable. So it's not just about, oh yeah, this design for living. It's not a one-way street. It's as good for my wife as it is for me. If I can forget, so can she. But that is not describing the terrific amount of spiritual work that needs to go into repairing a relationship that's been damaged. And for me, it's better not to take the attitude that if I can forget, so can she. You know, that's just not a very good phrasing for me. But what's better for me to hold on to is that, you know, when you decide that you want to make a relationship work, showing up and you are doing your best to right a wrong and to make amends without injuring a third party, you still have to remember that whatever feeling she has, that's hers. It's none of my business how she feels. It's my business to what my side of the street is and how I show up to her. And then, you know, also to live in the consequences of however she feels, that's how she feels. It may not be exactly what I'm wanting, but that's exactly the way it is. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. in North Carolina. Next up is Jessica C. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Yeah, for me, this is an example of where we're studying something in the big book that I don't know that I've read before or done any sort of deep dive on before. And I just get so much out of this daily study that we do on this meeting. You know, just like it's so easy for dishonesty around food to happen if I'm not working a rigorous program, I can also really easily get off the beam in my relationships and in my marriage if I'm not, you know, constantly surrendering my character defects. And you know, with my husband, he's just so healthy. He's not an addict at all. He's so loving, and I know that he was hand selected for me by God, but I am an addict, and if I'm not practicing gratitude and appreciation for him, then I can start to treat him like he's furniture. You know, I've heard someone share that in this meeting, that, you know, treating our spouses like they're in the background of our lives. I can do that. And I can do things that feed my addict. Like, you know, this passage reminds me of how I would ask my husband about his past relationships and wanting to analyze them and knowing lots of details and, you know, talking about my past relationships, and because I get some excitement out of that, but he doesn't at all. And he finds it disturbing when I would bring that up. And he finally said to me, like, why are you talking about this? Like, I am with you now. I don't want to think about you with other people. I don't want to talk about my past relationships. Let's focus on now and the great thing that we have now. And he's right. Like, you know, I was just trying to get some sort of thrill out of that. So yeah, I just get so much out of this daily study of this text. I need it so that I can continue to be a better person, you know, closer to the person that God wants me to be for my husband, for everyone else in my life. And just really appreciate the shares that bring this text to life and help me see the areas in my life that, you know, continue to need to surrender to God. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica C. in Ontario, Canada. And Loretta H. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Lindsay, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Welcome, welcome to the newcomer. This is a design for living. It really, really works. And I'm so grateful also for this process and looking at my relationships, looking at my marriage. I And I'm so grateful. I feel like my husband's sainted and I'm selfish. And I was absent for many years of my marriage. I've been married, like I said, for a very long time. Most of you weren't even born when I got married. And selfishness, dishonesty, just resentment, all of that stuff was my part. And the bitterness, the suspicion, the jealousy. And I created a lot of that. And I looked like the good wife. I always appeared to look like the good wife. There used to be a program on that. And I was such a fraud. And today I try to carry into my marriage the four absolutes. Love, honesty, usefulness, true usefulness. And authenticity. Yes, I need to be authentic, but also accountable for my actions. And that's what this four step does for me. And then when I write my 11 step at night, I can actually review my day with my husband in the column of the selfishness. And hopefully most days it's useful. And today I really do want to be an authentic and altruistic good wife, and not just that I'll lose something, that I'll be found out, or that I don't get what I want, because that was my MO for many years. And today, with God's grace and mercy and this work, and I did do a four step on my 50-year marriage, and I did tell my husband something that really, really hurt him. And it wasn't to justify it or to, but it was something I realized that he lost a period of his heart during that situation. And I don't want to break his heart anymore. So with that, I pass. I'm so grateful for this program. And everybody have a blessed day. God bless. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, Loretta H. And where are you calling from? Well, thank you, Loretta H. And now we will take another lineup. Who else would like to share?
Laurie M.
Is that Laurie?
Laurie M. from New Orleans.
Gotcha.
Okay. Kim A.
Laurie.
Kim A. Yeah.
Gotcha. Who else would like to share? Lots of time. Got Laurie M.
Karen K.
Kim A. Karen K. Gotcha.
Hi, this is Jessica from Ohio. I'll try to share.
Hi, Jessica. All right, great. So we've got Laurie M., we've got Kim A., Karen K., and Jessica S. So Laurie M., please unmute and share with us.
What page, please? Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lindsay, for your service. Thank all of y'all for being out there. This is Laurie M. from New Orleans, and I just want to share on what happened to me yesterday. This program is so enlightening. So I have a friend who lost her job, and she decided she was going to cry on my shoulder a little bit for like an hour, and I tried to talk about God, and I thought I was doing good, and she didn't really want to listen to that, you know, and I get it. But anyway, she needed to vent, and I listened, but it kind of had me irritated and uncomfortable during the day, right? I was like ill at ease. I was just, by the time my husband came home, I had like had it with my work day and everything. And when I did my inventory, I said, no, I've been selfish. I listened to people today. I did service. I did all kinds of stuff. But when he got home, I was not able to be there for him. I was frustrated, I was flustered, and this just reminds me that the program kind of brings us back down to earth with that. When we do our nightly review and we do all of our prayers at night, we recommit ourselves to this design for living that keeps us straight. And this morning I'm waking up realizing, golly, you know, you got to save some for your husband when he gets home because, you know, he's your partner and there's a fidelity that goes with that and that you're going to be there for him. But also this program helps you to keep all of that straight, the nightly review. And I just wanted to let y'all know how grateful I am to be able to have my eyes opened by this program. But also my husband gets to see me do my nightly review, do my prayers, fidelity to God. And I think that that makes me more trustworthy in his mind as well, because he knows that I'm absolutely thinking of God and what I'm doing through the day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Laurie M. in Louisiana. And then next up is Kim A., followed by Karen K. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Thanks. This is Kim A. in New York City. And the amend steps, well, specifically 9 in my mind, is similar to like step 4 and 5, that if we don't understand why exactly we're doing it, and if we're doing it without a sponsor to guide us or not doing it the way the big book tells us to do it, then, you know, we're looking at it through this lens of, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. You know, this is something that's going to feel bad. This is something that I don't want to do. You know, it appears to be like this big kind of looming black cloud. And I have done both steps for many years the way the big book tells me to do it, with the guidance of a sponsor, and have found it to be pretty much the opposite. You know, the thing with the amend steps, I keep saying steps, like step 9, making the amends. The thing with that is, I know for me, I always have to check my motivations with making an amends. And I don't, unless I know I owe somebody an amends, like during the day, I generally don't make amends. Well, I don't make amends without discussing it with my sponsor. Even being into this 6 years recovered, I always go through it with my sponsor because, you know, even now my mind doesn't always operate the way it should. And sometimes I owe amends that I don't. Sometimes it justifies why I don't owe amends when I do. And one of the things for me too is sometimes I get this sense of urgency, like there's an amends I need to make right now. You know, but my sponsor and her sponsor, like, they have an interesting take on it. Like, I was sort of trained, if you will, to not do the amends first of the people that I'm the closest to, because it could be really, like, convoluted. When I was going through the steps the first time with my sponsor, she had me do, like, simple amends first, but wait on people like my mother, my father, my sister, my husband, because as we're continuing on in 10th stepping on a daily basis, it's like more is revealed, right? Like, I can think I know why I owe my husband an amends based on my 4th and 5th step and based on, you know, my higher power giving me inspiration. But if I'm then, like, 10th stepping on how on a regular basis I'm doing something or saying things in a way that are not kind or not helpful or kind of not my business, I may not realize that for a while. So I have to ask God to help me, like, squelch. Thanks. I'll wrap up. Squelch this sense of urgency and really keep in touch with why I'm doing this. I'm not doing it to make myself feel better. And I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim A. in New York. And then next up is Karen K., followed by Jessica F. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Karen K.
from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. I had something beautiful happen this week, and I just wanted to share on the receiving end of a nine step. This is someone that I had worked with for a long time ago, and we're kind of helping each other, you know. And last January, I had her on my amends list, and I, you know, did make an attempt to make an appointment for us to talk. She never got back to me, and then out of the blue, well, God's work is never out of the blue, she sends me a text and asks me if I have WhatsApp so we can video see each other because we were not local. And she started with a prayer, and we didn't know each other for very long. And I let her know on the text that, you know, I had contacted you because I save every spoiler alert, I save every phone number I get. So her name did show up when she sent the text to me, and I said, yes, I do remember you. And she goes, then we made the phone call. She texted me five minutes before. And this is how a 10-step needs to be done. You know, an appointment's made. What is the topic of the talk that's going to be? And then she even started with a prayer, which I thought was really cool. And basically, she asked me if there was anything that I needed to say. And what was really cool is I just, you know, let her off the hook. You know, based on the information we had of one another, we did the best that we could. And I think, you know, my experience shows that when I was in my disease or out of my disease or in, you know, being sober, you know, I do the best I can with the information I have right at the time. And I think that's important, you know, when receiving or giving a nine-step amends, to kind of lighten it up a little bit, you know, to know that, you know, I did the best I could. And now going forward, this is what I'd like to do next in the future, should we interact again. And with that, I would like to pass. And thanks again for your service.
Thank you, Karen Kay in New York. And the next up is Jessica S. Good morning, Jessica.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for taking the meeting on. My name is Jessica S. and I'm from Ohio. I really appreciate all you guys share because I'm actually going through a tough time. And I have had to really stay close to program and stay close to my faith because it is really testing to the point where I had to seek advice from my, you know, my sponsor and people that who are spiritual minded, because I just realized that the frame of mind that I'm in, you know, I could be operating on my disease. And I just want to reread that, the one sentence where it says, "A design for living is not a one-way street. It is good for the wife as it is for the husband." And when I read that statement, I kept thinking that, you know, I could be the only example of program that someone sees. I mean, I have to, you know, I have not to do what my disease or what my emotion wants me to do, but I have to say what program is, you know, I have to say what God wants me to say. And, you know, I always try to, you know, now just speak, you know, speak through him. I mean, and I was looking at page 98, where it talks about nonsense. Some of us have had to have very hard knocks, you know. And I was just thinking how right now I'm just kind of like in between jobs, and, you know, I kind of want to blame everyone, but I just realized I just have to keep doing the next right thing. I have to keep, you know, just doing the next right thing, even though I just want to give up. But I have to realize that, you know, God wants me to keep trudging on. And, you know, I throw myself into the harder, you know, into helping people whenever I get down, because I can't afford self-pity at the moment. But, yeah, that just came up for me in this, let's see here, let me look at my time. that would came up for me in that paragraph. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica S. in Ohio. And thank you to everyone who shared. And thanks to everyone that gave service in the month of February on Thursdays. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's meeting, Thursday, February 27th, is 22205. That's 22205. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Martha Z. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.